Aloha. Today's episode is brought to you by the Western Extension Risk Management Education Center, USDA NIFA, and the University of Hawaii, College of Tropical Agriculture and Human Resources, and the Livestock Extension Group.
Aloha. Welcome to the Livestock Wala'au, a podcast aimed to provide educational support, information, guidance, and outreach to our livestock stakeholders in Hawaii. We are your hosts, Mele Oshiro and
Shannon San.
And today we're going to be talking about what is going on in the U.S. livestock market industry. And to do that, Shannon is going to take it away for us to talk more about that.
Okay. So I just kind of figured I would talk a little bit about the industry, what all is going on, kind of just a general market update. So if you don't know, my background is actually ag economics, and particularly econometrics, marketing, finance, and statistics, which sounds like a lot. And I guess it is, depends on the day. But I kind of wanted to take it back to why is this important to producers in Hawaii? So just some reasons why this is important to producers in Hawaii, and Mele, please correct me if I'm wrong, but is that it does to some extent influence prices here in terms of input costs and feed or grain, depending again on the livestock product that you're growing, shipping animals to the mainland, because we have a lot of people that ship feeder cattle and things like that. And then the other thing it also can influence is insurance prices, particularly things like livestock risk protection, which again is generally geared towards cattle, but they do actually have a sheep option. I do not know if that's available in Hawaii,
but I don't know.
They do actually have a sheep version they were testing out a couple of years ago that I think, but also other things like hurricane fire protection, basically things that FSA puts out. So the prices do influence what you get here as far as insurance goes. If there's a natural disaster, Hawaii, like many places, I feel like there's generally one area ends up unfortunately having it. And then I feel like the COVID of it all, I don't know what else to call it other than because of COVID, it heavily influenced our food security as well as our prices and things like that. And again, you know, I think our input prices in the next year or so, we're really going to take we've already taken a huge hit on the cost of food at the grocery store because we've had the highest inflation we've had in decades. And I think it's starting to reach input prices for livestock producers, but I think it's potentially going to hit even heavier, to be honest. Yeah.
So. Well, and I think our livestock producers that are more in sort of a confined feeding operation, you know, our poultry, our swine, all those things that impact the prices of those products in the States definitely impact our prices here because we ship in all that feed, you know, so it's going to impact. And that's why it's important to understand.
Well, and even if you're feeding slop, but if there's not enough tourists, you've got to feed them something.
Yeah, so exactly.
It's influenced kind of a one way or another by just the economy at large. COVID has just influenced everything, and I think it will continue to influence things for several years to come. If that's something y'all are interested in, I actually have a lot of information about that. We could do a whole other episode related to that stuff because I think it's a lot more influence than people really think about and or know. Well, I think everybody knows, but I think it's more heavily influenced things than some people have really thought about, especially if you look at, again, prices and stuff. So
definitely.
And Hawaii being such a rural state, you know, physically isolated, it affects it even more.
Yeah. And I think some of the other outer islands that, like Kauai and whatnot get impacted even more. So, and then, in Molokai and Lanai, then, maybe Big Island does or Oahu because they just one more step to have to get things to them. Right.
And if you think when we had shipping, we had huge disturbances in shipping. And even now at times, we still are having those much larger than we had in, let's say, 2019, 2018, 2017. So
there's
a lot of that going on.
Effects are going to linger for a little while.
Yeah. But we wanted to do just kind of a general update of kind of the markets. Now, this is going to mostly be mainland. But like I said, it does influence our prices in terms of things we receive, like insurance rates, as well as like if there's disaster coverage and stuff like that. So it's kind of good to know what's going on the mainland just because of that, as well as if you have animals you ship to the mainland. So I'm going to start with the cattle market because that's the one I have the most information about at this point. That's the most up to date. And full disclosure, we are filming this in mid-February. So I want to again give a disclaimer here that these are the current prices when we are filming this. That does not mean these are the prices and the distributions when this goes up in March. So I do want to give that disclaimer that we filmed these ahead of time. I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about trade and things like that. So the trade data we have for 2021 was recently released by USDA, and it shows that both beef and broiler exports posted gains over the previous year. Unfortunately, pork exports fell slightly. So what that means is there's not so much, not necessarily shifts in demand, but there could potentially be some shifts. Well, it could be shifts in demand. It could be shifts in supply, and could also be shifts in, again, prices and input costs. So again, things for everybody to really be thinking about over the next coming months, on top of the fact that, let's be honest, come March, that's when taxes are due for producers, your Schedule F. So again, we could have done a whole episode related to that. I did a lot of, like, I used to do a lot of tax talks. Total beef exports were actually at a record 3.4 billion pounds, which is 16.8% increase over 2020. So that's really... Oh.
That's good.
Well, if you think about the prices of, like, beef and stuff on the mainland, because it's gone down, that means the demand is what, you know, that shifts those axes a little bit so that people are going to buy it because it's cheaper or a little less expensive. And then pork exports posted the second highest level on record, with annual exports at 7 billion pounds. I'm so sorry. It is a 3.4% decrease from the previous year's record level of nearly 7.3 billion pounds. And then lamb imports hit a new record high of 264.2 million pounds in 2021, which is up 23.7%, which makes sense because I watch a lot of cooking shows. I don't know about you, Mele. Maybe it's just me. I do feel like lamb is a thing I see more and more being used. And I know there's quite a few, like, lamb and goat small rumen producers on the island. So that might be something to, like, take advantage of and think about. So broiler exports reached a record level in 2021 of 7.4 billion pounds. Which is a lot. The cattle inventory for the USDA, NAS recently released that data. And if we want, include some of these maps so you can see the changes in the beef cows from 2021 to 2022, which you'll have to watch on the YouTube channel, because I don't know that we can visually represent that on the actual podcast. I think that's difficult, but we will have links to some of this stuff in there. So y'all can take a gander. They released the January 1 cattle inventory report the other week, and detailing beef cow herd sizes and changes at the state level. So the U.S. beef cow herd declined by 719,000 head from a year ago. And that makes sense because there was a lot of drought this last year, as I think some of us experienced, again, on the different islands and different parts of the islands on Big Island. And so there were substantial changes in key states, which indicates that we might have a price increase, because generally when we have a sell-off, again, that shifts those prices because we have less supply. So things can happen. You never know. But among the largest declines in beef cow herds were South Dakota, Texas, and Missouri, and it looks like Montana. Again, South Dakota looks like it had the largest decrease of about 189,000 head, followed by Texas with 160,000. But yeah, so it could potentially mean a shift in prices for us in this new year, again, because there was the sell-off. And like I said, I feel like it's kind of a cyclical thing that seems to happen historically throughout the U.S., because we do go through periods of drought where we have a decrease in the cattle supply. Just because you're depending on your drought mitigation plan, that's part of it, is when you get to the point where you start culling additional head. You know what I mean? I'm going to talk a little bit about the sheep and goat inventory. Oh, although I will say, because it does have it by state, and it does look like there was this ever so slight increase in the state of Hawaii in terms of our cattle inventory.
Yeah, we're like a couple thousand head, I think, more. Yeah. Than 2021. Yeah. This was based off of January's data. So
yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So we're going to look at sheep and lamb inventory now. It doesn't have anything for Hawaii. So the end of January for sheeps and lambs, as well as goats and kids, all sheep and lamb inventory continued a downward trend by 2%, about 105,000 head to 5.2 a little over 5 million head as of January 1 of 2022. It is the lowest on record, which is really interesting if you think about those imports, because we imported so much lamb meat. And then the January 1 report for goats and kids inventory was at 2.5 million head, and that's down 1.4% or about 36,000 head from a year ago. I feel like the lamb and sheep industry, I do feel like that's definitely coming around a lot more in terms of food. I do see it in a lot more on a lot more menus, and it's a lot more prevalent than it was a few years ago. So it looks like base slaughter hog prices have started to increase ever so slightly for January going into February, which is great, especially if you look historically over last year and the previous 5 years before that through from 2016 to 2020 average. And then 2021, it looks like it's ever so slightly higher, which is great news. That being said, again, because of the pandemic and COVID situation, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in terms of input costs with all of these. And it's definitely something to watch. So, and there has been, it looks like, a slight decrease in terms of overall inventory of hogs and pigs. So it looks like current estimates for Hawaii for hogs and pigs is about 9,000, if I'm doing this math correctly, based on the National Ag Statistics Service or NAS data that they have. And it looks like it's a little lower than 2020, about 1,000 head lower is is what it looks like. So where it looked like we had 10,000, it looks like they are estimating we now have about 9,000 head in Hawaii for hogs and pigs. That's pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. And that's both breeding and market hogs. So,
As far as the livestock industry, I think we do really need to watch the costs and things like that, as well as with, because we are, again, physically isolated. So we have a lot of shipping expenditures in terms of cost to get things here, whether that's food, medicine, input costs for like barns or farrowing or fencing supplies is what I'm really trying to say. Mm-hmm. Things like that. I was like, that all adds up. And I think that's something that we kind of have to watch this next year. Again, we've seen input increases for the last couple of years. I mean, and given current inflation, every month for the last, since November of 2021, has been at almost record highs. I think that's something we really have to watch out for, because in some areas of input costs for agriculture, it hasn't caught up. But what I'll say is it hasn't caught up yet. So that is something to be aware of. Not, again, not to scare everybody, but just so that you think about it ahead of time and you plan for those potential input cost increases. I think that's going to be really, really important over this next year. And so this first quarter is kind of when a lot of folks go through their budget and make some decisions. And so now's the time to try and pull out your crystal ball and do your very best to guess what those cost increases are. So, and again, you can look at historic data as well as include like the inflation prices for the last few months. And, you know, I don't know, have we had shipping? We had some shipping increases in 2021. I know we had big ones in 2020, if I recall correctly. But
yeah, and that increase is still there for shipping costs. So,
well, it's not going away.
Yeah.
So again, you know, now's the time to really kind of put pen to paper, which you already have to do anyways, because taxes are due here pretty soon. So I think that's going to be, you know, a big thing to really just take into account and think about what your input costs are going to be this next year and potentially ways you can decrease them or change them, or again, how you're going to finance them. Because I think that's going to be a thing to think about this next year. So, I mean, I know Mele, you have poultry and stuff, so, but yours are baby poultry right now.
Yeah. And ours are mostly for home use, you know, we don't sell.
No, I know you don't sell stuff, but that is, even if it's backyard poultry or pets, or again, sustenance farming, again, it costs money. So you have to kind of budget and think about a lot of those things.
Definitely.
I mean, like I said, input costs have increased, but they haven't increased at the same rate, which has been a little surprising. But I think I think they're going to catch up this next year. So I think that's a thing to be aware of and make sure you're you're estimating a little more than you think you need would be my guess. So,
yeah. And we definitely do see the difference, you know, in feed when we go and buy compared to when we first started having our guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, if you even think about like when we go to the, if you go to the grocery store to buy stuff, I was like, in some cases, there's a 200% increase over a year and a half ago, depending on the product you're looking at. So if anything, it makes local products more cost effective to buy at times now.
Yeah, it does.
Again, that's a whole other discussion. I just think big thing is it's great. There's some potential upswing depending on which livestock industry you're in based on exports and things like that. But I do want people to really just take home message is to know what's going on outside of our own like county, city, state, because we've had a lot of inflation over the last few months. And I think that's something to think about. Like I said, it's going to be a double-edged sword. In some cases, it's going to be really good depending on the industry you're in. Potentially, you got some potential real upswing to make some money.
Yeah.
As far as prices going up.
Yeah.
And the other thing is like I said, that also means general input costs go up at the same time. And some of those haven't quite caught up yet, but they will. So when you're doing your budget, make sure you try your best to account for that.
Yeah.
And if that's something you have questions about, shoot me an email or give me a my email address. We'll include it below, or you can email the vala@hawaii.edu, either one. I'm happy to discuss that with you if you have questions about how to make some of those estimates and stuff. But because those are generally individual discussions, that's not something we talk about a whole lot on here.
But. Yeah, everyone's situation is going to be everyone's a little bit different, you know. Yeah. But you know, and it's even opportunities to talk about the budget is talk about your own production practices that you have in your own ranch. And if maybe integrating or diversifying some of the products that you are producing may be an option for you to help alleviate some costs or just, you know, improve in other areas. So
plan.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I also want to, you know, while we're talking about cost of things and whatnot, I do want to also mention again, a couple of episodes back, we had Dr. Fuse, Dylan, that talked about the cattle market here in Hawaii and the project that he was working on, making some, creating some decision support tools. Currently, he has developed a survey. We're all on this project with him, looking at the different gate prices here in Hawaii for cattle that's been fed out. So if you do sell cattle here in Hawaii or ship them out to the mainland for finishing, you know, if you're a buyer or whatnot, you know, we'd love to have your feedback on the survey. And it's just going to basically ask you if you sold cattle and some other few questions. It probably won't even take you more than 5 minutes to fill out the survey.
No.
We will include those links in our description boxes and whatnot, and really appreciate your feedback on this. You know, his decision support tools that Dylan creates really will be more effective for you if he does have this information. So it's completely very anonymous. No information from you will be kept. Basically, we just want to know what people are getting so that we can create some tools that are going to be useful for you. So, or I should say more like Dylan will create the tools. That'll help with some making some decisions. And, you know, when you're doing planning and all this types of stuff. So, you know, in the mainland, getting prices is so easy because they have the cattle barns and everything. Everything's well documented. But here in Hawaii, we're just a little bit different scenario that we don't have that. So we kind of got to reach out to everybody to kind of get that information and kind of see where we can help build some tools to make to have for you to help your decision making and whatnot. So anyways. Yes.
And if you're interested in learning more about this, like I said, you can shoot me an email if you have questions about stuff. I'll do my best to answer it. And we will have resource links to all of the graphs and data that and topics we discussed today via the Livestock Market Information Center and the USDA NAS and Risk Management Agency.
Nancy.
So we'll have all of that stuff linked for y'all below.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
And again, if you have questions about it, just feel free to send one of us an email. Mm-hmm. you know, happy to help.
Yes. So we hope you found this information useful for you, or at least be able to get the resources that you may have questions about. And again, please fill out our Feedback Fest survey. It's completely anonymous, won't take you more than 10 minutes, promise. And let us know if there's something else you'd like to hear, and it'll help us to be able to continue to provide this type of resource for you folks.
Yes. And make sure to join our Facebook page, the Livestock Extension Group, if you haven't already. And be sure to visit the UHCTAR Extension website and our YouTube channel listed in the show notes.
Yes. And for additional information about this topic, see the show notes of the podcast or our description box, as Shannon says, of our YouTube page. And thanks again for listening to Livestock Balao. And before we go, show some love for your favorite podcast, which is us, of course, by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. And then stay tuned for next month's episode.
Yep. Thanks again to our sponsors, the Western Extension Risk Management Education Center, USDA NIFA, the Livestock Extension Group, and CTAR.
Mahalo for listening. Ahui ho.